John chapter 20 is where we're going to be, and basically we're going to look just for a few moments at the thought here today of faith's eternal destiny. Faith's eternal destiny. Where does faith begin? Where does faith end? Where does it spend eternity? And you say, well, what is faith? What is it? Faith doesn't spend eternity anywhere. Well, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what happens? What is our eternal destiny as a result of faith? What does it do for us? And I want to share a story here out of John chapter 20, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, about Thomas. We are very good at picking out names for people, right? We like to pick out names. And so we call Thomas Doubting Thomas, right? We call Thomas Doubting Thomas, and he was there with Christ, one of the disciples. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. But yet, we find that Thomas had a flaw or a crack in his armor, if you will, right? Imagine that, a disciple has a little crack in his armor. But what we realize and what we have to realize as humans is we have the very same cracks, and sometimes our cracks are gaping. If you will, there are even bigger cracks. Thomas had spent his ministry, the ministry of Christ, had spent the ministry with Christ in this 3.5 years, if you will, had spent time with Jesus, had heard him speak, had, I'm sure, touched him at no questions about it. I'm sure they at some point in time shook hands or hugged or whatever it is that they did. They spent time together. He heard Jesus speak. He heard the challenges. Thomas saw the miracles that Jesus performed. Thomas was right there with Jesus. And we do this thing, and I know I'm guilty of it as well, as we look from the outside at what we see and what we hear and what we know about someone. You know, we think about people in life who you just can't get rid of the one thought that you had, the mistake that they made. You never forgive them for it. You can never get over it. Well, Thomas, I guess his ever-long mistake would be that he doubted that Christ had resurrected. He doubted that he was really alive. And we can see we can see his great mistake. Peter's great mistake was denying the Lord Jesus. He was right there with him, yet he denied him. And there are others in the Bible that we can say, well, we looked at Sarah this morning revolving around faith, and we can, the first thing really, I'll have to be honest with you, this is just the way my mind works. The first thing that comes to my mind about Sarah is the fact that she laughed. She laughed about what God said he was going to do, what the angel said God was going to do. And then she lied about laughing. You with me? But God has her in the Word of God. She is in the Hall of Faith. She is one of the faithful people written down. Abraham, he had his own problems. He's one of the men written down in the Hall of Faith. People who are filled with faith. Even some of the godliest and the greatest men and women in the Bible had fear and doubted. And we'll see that here in just a moment as we see this from Thomas. So I would encourage you here this morning to look at Thomas and consider yourself. Where would you be? What would you do in his shoes? In verse 19, so you have a little bit of an idea of what's going on. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. It is by no coincidence that the Bible says the doors were shut. It is very important to understand that the doors were shut. Yet Jesus stood in the midst. How is this possible? It's possible because he is Jesus, God in the flesh. And he saith unto them, peace be unto you. I guarantee you every one of us, as we think about the shepherds, the Bible says, and they feared, they shook, they were afraid because of the angel that appeared to them, and then the heavenly host. And they had fear. Every one of us have fear. Something that we're afraid of. Something that we don't want to face. Something we may not want to do. There's certain things that every one of us fear. My daughter says she doesn't fear the dark. She fears what might be in the dark. It's not the dark that she fears. It makes sense. It's a fear. It's a fear. There's fear. There's fear when you have a job interview. There's fear when you go to a new place. There's fear, whatever your fear may be. There's fear of public speaking. There's fear of singing a special. There's fear. Every one of us deal with fear. Yet God says, fear not. The angels say, fear not. But the greatest men in the Bible and some of the greatest women in the Bible feared. Verse 20 says, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. They may have had some questions about who this really was. Was it a figment of their imagination? What was it? Who was it? And he shows his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They realized, this is nothing other than the hand of God. This is nothing other than God himself, the Lord. And verse 21 says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. You realize this morning that God doesn't want us to live in confusion and frustration and discouragement and depression. God wants us to have peace in our lives. He wants us to have the peace that passeth all understanding in every situation, in every circumstance. How can you have peace in that situation? How can you have peace in those circumstances, Pastor? Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you, in verse 21. Verse 22 says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. God wants us to have the Holy Spirit to lead us in our lives. He doesn't want us to wander around aimlessly through the storm. He wants us to trust him. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. I want you to notice verse 24 is where our text really begins today. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He was not with them. You know, there are times where we have meetings. We have church meetings, a Sunday meeting or a Wednesday meeting, or we have a special meeting. And many times there are people who aren't with us. They're not here. It's interesting as a pastor, you know, when you have something going on and you announce it from the pulpit and you share it. And then, you know, the next day you get texts or you get a phone call and says, well, what are we doing now? I'm not telling you don't do that. I'm telling you it's interesting because what sometimes I forget is those people weren't here yesterday. And you try to wait to the most opportune time, you know, or the perfect time so that everybody's there. And it seems like inevitably someone's sick, someone's on vacation. I won't go into all the other details why you might not be here, but those are some good ones, right? You might be away. But there's always, it seems like, someone who can't be there. I don't know exactly 100% why Thomas wasn't there. I don't know if he just completely doubted faith or just completely had no faith and just decided he didn't want to have anything to do with it. I don't know. He just wasn't there. But I want you to consider the disciple. The disciple. The disciple who wasn't there. Now, God uses this for a specific story, for a specific lesson for you and I today. But the disciple that was there, was not there, shows up later. He wasn't there when Jesus came the first time. And he essentially, we know, says that he will not believe unless he sees him himself and is able to put his hands in his side and feel the nail prints in his hands, and he just will not believe until he sees with his own two eyes. This is the disciple. The disciple who the Bible says, the disciple, and you and I know the definition of a disciple is literally a follower of Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who follows Christ in everything that he does. He follows his life. You know, that's one of the first courses that you need to take if you're going to take a Bible course or an education that way for a Bible education. You're going to have to take a Life of Christ course. Hey, this is the life of Christ. Why do we want to take a Life of Christ course? So that we can follow his life, so that not only we can follow it so we know it, but so that we can follow it for real. We can do what Christ did. We can be a disciple. We can follow in his steps. What would Jesus do in every situation? We have to go to the Word of God to find out what he would do. We have to find out how he would handle himself, and we pattern our lives after that. It's very interesting watching families and watching people and watching how people grow and how they adapt or how they adjust or how they pattern their lives. It's neat to watch, you know, a child who smiles just like their mom. Or I remember when my kids started, you know, getting a little bit bigger voices anyways, I'd call and I'd think every one of them was Julie on the phone, you know. It sounds like, who am I talking to? And I have to ask them every time, who are you? And, I'm Alyssa. Oh, I thought you were mom, you know. And it's, hey, because they patterned their life, they've heard and they've seen. And what a disciple does. A disciple takes the Word of God and says, this is what God says. This is what the world says. I'm going to do what God says. As for me and my house, we're going to do what God says, and we're going to throw out what the world says. That's what a disciple does. A disciple says, I'm not going to do what I was taught growing up when it comes to the worldly ways. I'm not going to do, hey, if my father was an alcoholic, I'm not going to be an alcoholic because Jesus didn't do it. Jesus wasn't in those places. I mean, he didn't do those kind of things. He didn't dress like this, or he didn't act like this, or he didn't talk like that. I'm going to be a disciple of Christ, and I'm going to do what he does. It's amazing. We have a lot of disciples out there today, and I'm not talking about disciples of Christ. At one point in time, one famous rapper or whoever it was, decided to let their pants hang down so their rear end cheeks were hanging out. And everybody else said, I'm going to do like him. How many of you remember LL Cool J? You know, LL Cool J, I think it was the first one that had one leg up, you know. Had one leg up. And I remember people walking around school, and they were disciples of LL Cool J. You know, they just wanted to be cool like him. I don't know if he's the one that started it, but they wanted to be cool. And you know what they do? Their followers follow them, and they do what they do. You know why people want tattoos all over their bodies and they want earrings all over? Because they've seen someone else that's done it. And they want to follow that. They want to be like that. In fact, that's why I picked up a guitar, because I wanted to be like somebody else. Then I found out I'd never be like somebody else. And I'm glad, because God used it for his glory. He used it for a different purpose, for a different plan than what I had. But then eventually my life started following him, and I started patterning my life after him. Why? Because I want to be a disciple of Christ. If ye are my disciples, if ye love me, keep my commandments, he says. Do what I've told you to do. Here's the disciple who is Thomas, who's Didymus. For whatever reason, he wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time. And let me present this to you. You miss out on a lot when you're not there. A lot of fun things happen. A lot of interesting things happen. A lot of good information happens when you're not there. A lot of exciting things happen, whether it's church or whether it's an activity. And I understand not everybody can be at everything. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. But I'm telling you, Thomas missed out, like many times we do when we're not where God wants us to be. And I'm not just talking about the house of God. I'm talking about when we're not there, when we know we're supposed to be reading our Bible. We're not there in our family devotions when we know we're supposed to get together as a family and study the Word of God and pray and seek His face, and we miss out on a lot. And we wonder why we're not as strong faith-wise as we ought to be. We're not built as sturdy as we should be, and we're not there. Thomas wasn't there. I want you to consider the disciple and ask yourself this morning, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because a disciple will do what his master biddeth him to do. Are we doing what Christ would want us to do? Are we dressing like Christ would want us to dress? Act like Christ would want us to act? Looking like Christ would want us to look? Doing what Christ would want us to talk the way Christ would want us to talk? The disciple is here, but yet nonetheless, he wasn't there in the beginning. At least he's here right now. He's here. I want to encourage you to be faithful. Verse number 25 says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not, what's the word? Believe. That's called doubt. I want you to consider, first of all, the disciple. But I want you to consider this disciple who had followed Jesus Christ, faithfully had followed Jesus Christ, now is filled with doubt. His peers are all coming to him and saying, "You're not going to believe this. We saw Jesus. This is not was not a figment of our imagination. I mean, you ain't going to believe this, but I'm telling you, the doors were shut. And Jesus came in and he was with us. And I mean, we were a little confused about who it was and how he got there and all that kind of thing. But he told us, he said, I'm Jesus. I'm the Lord. I'm your Lord. And man, it was him. And he began to tell us some things. Man, it was amazing. And Thomas says, I got to see it with my own two eyes. I got to experience it for myself. Sounds like teenagers today, right? I ain't going to believe what dad says. I don't care what mom says. I have to figure it out myself. And we wonder why we spend all of our lives with all these scars in our lives, because we won't listen. Wonder why I have scars in my life, because I wouldn't listen to what the Word of God told me to do. I wouldn't listen. I said, well, no, it's more important what I want. I don't know if I believe all that. God has to show me in another way. But I want you to consider the doubt. And we can pick on Thomas all we want, but I'm telling you, there's not a one of us here that don't live with doubts in our lives. Do we really believe that God can do it? Do we really believe that this situation can be taken care of? Do we really believe that our neighbor down the road can get saved? Do we really believe that we could see them in church one day? Do we really believe that God can do a great work in there? Do we really believe that it has to be the way God tells us to do it? Or do we think we have a better way? The doubt that Thomas has is the doubt that many times floods our souls and spirits. We think about this. I sing a song. We sing a song that talks about that. The doubts that feared filled my troubled soul brought me to my knees in prayer, asking God, literally, is the blood still there? Is it really there? Many times, if we're not careful, because we're not where we should be, much like Thomas wasn't where he should have been. Thomas wouldn't be dealing with doubt at this time had he been where he was supposed to be. And that's not the theme of this message, but it is the reality that he missed out. And had he not missed out, he wouldn't be saying now, I will not believe. I don't care what you guys say, I will not believe. You know why I won't believe? Because I want you to consider this. Thomas saw with his own two eyes more than likely, or at least saw from a distance or realized what happened to Jesus. He might not have been there. Maybe everybody else said, hey, he got nailed to the cross. I don't know if he was there or not. But you listen, the reality is, hey, he knew about it. He's put in the tomb. Everybody's sad. Everybody's discouraged. And Thomas says, I'm not going to believe that he's alive because I know better. We have a lot of Christians today who say, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do because I know better. I know better than to believe that's the way to do it. Everybody else does it this way. But the Word of God is what we are to line up with. And Thomas says, I will not believe unless I see. Unless I can put my hands in the nails, spears, in the spear in his side. Unless I can do it, I will not believe. The doubt, I don't believe. I want you to notice number three, that we will backtrack in this story, in that verse, that same verse. But I want you to consider this. And this is what I believe to be one of the scary things that we deal with as Christians. Not only does he doubt, but what does he do? I want you to consider number three, the demand. What is the demand? The demand is, unless I see with my own eyes, unless I can put my hand in the spear side, unless I can put my hand in the nails in his hands and his feet, I will not believe. Sounds like sometimes us in prayer, doesn't it? Lord, I'll follow you and I'll do what you tell me to do, but you got to do this, 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 and this, or I can't do it. Are you with me? You understand where I'm going? Don, unless I see with my own two eyes, I'm not going to believe. Thomas is no different than many of us, most of us, if not all of us. I won't believe it until I really see. I won't believe it until I get as low as I possibly can get. I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ. I'm not want anything to do with that church stuff. I don't want anything to do with those Bible thumpers. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. I don't want to study it. I don't care about it. Until what happens? We get to our lowest. And then we say, oh God, help me, please. And we do that sometimes as Christians as well. Many times. Where we say, you know what, I don't have time to pray right now. I don't have time to read my Bible right now. I'll do it later. You know what happens? It just keeps getting pushed back further and further and further. That happens. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Yep. I'm going to have to do it the next day. Oh, I'll go to church next Wednesday night. You know, can't go this Wednesday night. We'll go next Wednesday. I'll come to church next Sunday morning. And next Sunday morning seems to never come. But what Thomas does is he puts demands. He says, I'm not going to believe unless I can do this, 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 and this. And we come to God and we say, God, I'll do whatever you want, but you got to provide me with this, 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 and this. And if these don't come into play, then, Lord, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I can't go pastor that church. I can't go help those people. I can't do those kind of things. Lord, unless you do this, 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 and this. And we start to put demands on God. And Thomas says, unless I see with my own two eyes. So that sounds a lot like me. Yeah, it sounds a lot like all of us probably. But Thomas put some demands. I want you to consider not only the demands and the disciple and also the doubt that he has, but I want you to consider this morning number four is the display. The display. Verse 26 says this, and after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. I don't even remember Gideon, you know. God, if you put the fleece, you know, if the water's on the fleece but not on the ground, you know, and I remember how that all, the two ways, but hey, if the water's on the fleece and not on the ground, then I'll do what you want me to do. And if the water's on the ground but not on the fleece, then I'll do what you want me to do. And so we put all these demands on God. And God says, all right, you don't believe me? I'll show you. I'll show you. And unfortunately, sometimes that God showing us may be something that is very difficult and very hard. It may take some accident, or it may take some ailment or something that God to get a hold of our attention, because we're putting all these demands on God. I mean, I'll go to that church, Lord. I'll go to that church if you just stop the preacher preaching about tithe or something, you know. That's my demand. If he'll stop preaching about, you know, proper clothing and proper, and I'll go, you know. We put these demands on God. And God says, all right, I'll show you. I'll display. I'll make the display. As Thomas is there this time, Thomas, I believe at this point, probably is very inquisitive in the sense that I bet he's going to show up. Yeah, that's what you know, these other 11 guys, or what are these other 10 guys, I guess, at this point did. You know, that's what they said, but I don't know, but I'm going to go. I want to be there with my own two eyes. I'm not saying that's how he did it, but maybe it was. I imagine that's how I would have handled it. Well, I'll just come just to prove you wrong. How many people have walked into the doors of the church saying the very same thing? I'll come just to get you off my back. I just get you off my back, I'll come to church. And praise God, God gets a hold of their heart. He shows and makes a display, and they trust Jesus Christ that very day. And they get saved. Or they decide, well, you know what? Maybe that church wasn't so bad. I'll come back one more time. Just so I can keep him off my back. And God shows himself real in a church service. And somebody walks down. From five rows back, Dan always used to sing about, I came. And somebody came forward and trusted Jesus Christ. Because God made a display in their lives and showed them for their own understanding, for their own beliefs, so that they could see it with their own two eyes. Jesus walks in and comes, and he stands in their midst with the doors again being shut. And he says the very same thing. Isn't it amazing? The message doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. You know, God doesn't do this. He doesn't come to you and say, today I want you to have peace, but tomorrow I want you to have turmoil. And faith is what helps us in the midst of struggles to be able to have peace. See, it all works together. We're missing out because we don't have enough faith to believe that God can get us through a difficult situation. And God has to come in many times and he has a display and he shows himself to Thomas that, Thomas, here I am. In verse 27 it says, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands and reach hither thy hand. Here's the demands that God says, okay, you got demands? I can handle that. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. There's probably some folks sitting here this morning that are saying, I don't know. I mean, you may not say it out loud, and you may not even necessarily be wanting to say it to yourself, but you may be saying, I don't know if God can meet my demands. I mean, my demands are pretty high right now. You know? Kind of like these women they call high maintenance, right? I'm glad I didn't get a high maintenance woman, all right? I try to do the maintenance. I've tried to do the maintenance on her, but she don't listen sometimes. But anyways, you're supposed to laugh about that. That's pretty bad, brother. I have to tell everybody when to laugh when I share something, you know. But anyways, we have to, you know, these high maintenance. Man, you got it. They got this demand and they got that demand. And I got to have this and I got to have a new skirt and I got to have a new this and a new pair of shoes. And you just bought a new pair of shoes last week. Yes, but they're the wrong color. Oh, okay. Whew, how much that going to cost me? I don't know. Just give me your credit card. What? You already got it maxed out. The demands. Some of us are here today and we say, man, I've got this health issue that I haven't told anybody about and I don't know what to do about it and I'm scared. I just don't know if God can meet it. I don't know if God can take care of it. God says, I can take care of it. I can handle it. I can take care of it. It's not a problem. It'll be all right. You just bring it to me and I'll show you. Look, Thomas, see what you see? Hey, here's the display. And the Lord shows Thomas that, hey, be not faithless, but believing. Don't doubt, Thomas. Don't be afraid. Don't just doubt everything that happens in your life. Trust me. Believe. And I want you to see verse 28. Thomas makes a determination in his life. I want you to consider the determination. In verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my Lord and my God. Hey, what just changed? Hey, 8 days ago, he was saying, man, ain't no way. I ain't going to believe. I will not believe. I doubt. I don't believe any of it. I don't think it's going to happen. I know it didn't happen. In my heart, I ain't going to believe it until I see it. And the Lord says, okay, you want to see it? Here it is. And instantly, he makes a determination that this is who he says he is. This is the Lord. This is Christ. This is the one we followed for 3.5 years. This is him. He's alive. He's not dead. God's not dead. He is alive. Hey, he's alive. And I can, if I want to, put my hands where I want to put my hands so I can find out. But I don't need to because I've determined that this is who he says he is. What do we need today? We need some people that would determine that God is who he says he is. Hey, if God created me, don't you think God can take care of me? Yeah, he can. Hey, if God created you, don't you think he can take care of you? He sure can. Hey, if God is in control, and he sure is, he can take care of your situation, your circumstance. He can meet your need. Listen, Thomas, be not. Notice what he says. He tells him, be not faithless, but believing. Determine in your heart today that you're going to have faith to believe that God can help you in and through every situation, no matter what it is. That's what God does for us. He's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But what he needs God's people to do, and what he needs his people to do, is to determine in their lives that no matter what happens, we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord, and we're going to trust him, and we're going to walk through that door, and we're going to follow him. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? Because many times the disciples doubt. And they start to put demands on God. And I have a feeling sometimes God up in heaven just says, okay, I'll have to show you again. When that mercy and grace ends, I don't know, but God says, okay, I showed you then. I'll show you again. God's always met our needs. He's always taken care of us. But we still, when we get in that situation where we just don't know, I just don't know, can he do this one? Is this one too big? God says, be not faithless, but believing. And we need to determine to just believe in God. I want you to see verse 29. We're almost done here. Verse 29 says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I want you to consider the divine. We know when we think of the word divine and that term, we obviously have to apply it to God. But when we think about this, we are the chosen ones of God. We are after his death, his burial, his resurrection. We are waiting for his second coming. We are here. We have not seen him with our own two eyes. Thomas had to say, I have to see him. I have to see it. I have to see the wounds. I have to know it for myself. And he says, yes, now I believe. But you and I have not physically seen Christ. Neither did Oral Robertson or whoever it was, right? Was it Oral Robertson? Anyways, we haven't seen him. We haven't physically seen him. But we know that he exists by faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith, you and I, the divine today, understand that God is who He says He is. Christ is who He says He is. He's not just a prophet, a priest. He's not just someone special, a preacher. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we understand that and believe, yet we have not physically seen with our own two eyes. But buddy, we're going to. Someday we're gonna see him. Whether it's him taking us home to be with him, or whether it would be him in the rapture coming in the clouds and that trumpet blowing. Charge! And we see Jesus with our own two eyes. You say, I can't even see today. I'm half blind. You ain't going to be then. You will see Jesus. And you'll see him face to face. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more blindness. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. Folks, listen, I want you to know we are blessed today because we have not seen, but yet we have believed. You are the chosen of God today. If you've received him as your Savior, praise God. Boy, you ought to have a zeal and an excitement and desire in your heart to please him. I need that in my heart and in my life because of what he's done. Do you realize who you are today? The world thinks you're nuts because you believe in something that you didn't see. However, we understand that everything works. I look out, isn't it amazing? We can look out to the trees and we can see God. We sing a song about that too. A song that I see him in the birds and I see him in the trees. Because God created all. Wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. This stuff that we see out today in nature and all those beautiful things is why I love the country. But it's because we see that this couldn't happen without the Lord. It's amazing. To look out and see his creation. This couldn't happen by chance. This didn't happen by an explosion. This didn't happen by somebody just making something up. It was because God was in control of it all. And not a thing was made without the hand of Jesus Christ being involved. Let us make man in our image. Let us create. And he saw what he created and he saw that it was good. All things were good. Jesus created it. And blessed are they who have believed yet have not seen. And that's you and I today. You and I, if you have not been born again today, listen, you don't have to see him necessarily face to face with your own two eyes. You just have to receive him. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Believe in what he's done for you. Believe that he will change your life and can and will do it. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded, folks, that you and I are so blessed today, but we've been so blinded today about how blessed we really are. The faith to believe. And if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to move yonder hence into the sea, and it would do so. We are the divine because we have believed, yet we haven't seen. But I fear that many of our faith, many of our each and every one of us, many times our faith is exactly how Thomas's was. And Jesus has to say, listen, son. That's what he has to say to me, son. Be not faithless, but believing. And I have to determine in my heart, in my life, that God, if you told me, and if that's what you said, that's what I'll do. We have to make a determination. I will believe you. I'll believe you, God. You promised me you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You promised me. And now it's his responsibility to meet our needs. We build our faith by being in the Word of God. We build our faith by studying the Word of God. We build our faith by applying the Word of God to our lives. We build our faith by prayer. We build our faith. And God is responsible for the outcome. It's his job. We'll see that in the afternoon service. It's an exciting thought process. I want you to consider, lastly, in verses 30 and 31. We entitled this morning, Faith's Eternal Destiny, and that's the last point, is the destiny. The disciple, the doubt, the demand, the display, the determination, the divine, and the destiny. Here is the destiny. Notice what it says in verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is and that believing ye might have life through his name. Pastor, the last time I checked my pulse, I'm alive. Does that mean I have Jesus in my heart? Absolutely not. Ye must be born again. And if you're a little further down south, you must be born again. There is no salvation. There is no life and eternity in heaven without faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny, whether heaven or hell, is based upon faith. Where does our faith take us? We either have enough faith to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we receive him. We repent of our sins, realizing that we can't get to heaven by climbing up some ladder. We can't get in a rocket ship or a spaceship and try to fly up into heaven high enough to get to Jesus. We can't get there on our own without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are unworthy. We are unrighteous. We are undeserving. But our destiny depends upon our faith in Christ. Do we have faith in Christ that he died was buried and resurrected? Or do we do like Thomas and say, I won't believe until I can see it with my own two eyes. I will tell you this, it will be too late at that moment. It'll be too late for you. Your eternal destiny depends upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Are you going to have enough faith to believe? And if you're here today and you've put your faith and trust in Christ, praise God and start to realize that you are the divine and be not faithless, but believing that God can meet your needs. Now, He saved your soul. If He can save your soul, listen, if He can save me, He can help you. I promise you. And I don't mean just save you. He can help you in life if He can save me. And He did. And I'm grateful for that. And we must consider as children of God that He has a purpose and a plan for us. And we must be not doubting, not faithless, but believing. As a child of God, if you're a Christian, believe. If you're here today and you have not received Him as your Savior, please, I beseech you, as the Bible says, trust Christ. Put your faith and trust in Him alone. He is the way, the truth, and life. There's no other way. It's not by coming to church. However, this, I believe, is a wonderful church, and I'm grateful for this church, but this church cannot get you to heaven. We have the message that can get you to heaven. We have the truth that can get you to heaven, but we can't take you to heaven. If I could, I would. You have to have enough faith to believe and receive Christ as your personal Savior. Have you received Him? If you have, your eternal destiny is in heaven. If you haven't, biblically, your eternal destiny is hell. Won't you receive? Be not faithless. Be not doubting, but believe. Believe that Jesus is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Believe that He is who He says He is. He died on the cross for your sins, and He wants to save your soul.